Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from Danvers, Massachusetts is Liz Bilodeau from the Copyright Clearance Center, where she's a Senior Client Engagement Manager. Liz, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
And thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm glad you can make it. And what we're going to talk today, obviously, about is copyright issues in the workplace. It's got to be something that's getting much more complicated, given how much is available freely, it seems, online and with people sharing everything. What are some of the risks in the workplace that compliance professionals need to be aware of?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to what your employees are sharing, right? Because we're all creating content, but a lot oftentimes we're using content that belongs to others, so other people's intellectual property. When I started with Copyright Clearance Center 12 years ago, we've certainly noticed the volume of content that's out there, whether, you know, it's something of interesting video on YouTube, or whether it's an interesting article that somebody might have put on their website. The volume of content I think that's out there for all of us to access is far greater than it's ever been. And I think the risk in the workplace is also, you know, we live in a society where we need to have access to information at any given period of time, all from our fingertips, right? So we're doing that through our phones, through our computers, through various methods with social media. And so I think one of the risks that is really true is trying to identify, okay, what is it okay for us to do in our personal lives with content, right? Things that we might be posting on our Facebook page. But then how does that relate to when I step in the doors of my company and what I'm doing as an employee? Because oftentimes it feels to me that there's some overlap there, and there's also a lot of misinterpretation and people just really aren't informed of really when they need to get permission to share something, whether they want to take a video and put it in a PowerPoint, or if, you know, you simply send a link around internally to a group of colleagues with an interesting video. Where does my responsibility fall as an employee? And furthermore, you know, what is my company doing to educate it? And also basically keep us abreast of what the process is when we need to get permission. So I think a lot of that risk can really depend on how strong an organization's policies are around the use of third-party content, and also what tools do your employees have? What's the behavior that you want them to incur? And really, what have you done to educate your employees so that they know exactly what they can and can't do with content?
So let me ask, how real then is the risk? I mean, that, as you mentioned, copy and paste something into a PowerPoint and it gets shown. I mean, are there examples of companies that have gotten into big trouble with this?
Sure. So we could break that question down into a few pieces. I think the first part of, you know, what is the risk is really, you know, what are people doing? What are they using? Because when it comes to, you know, if we kind of step back and boil down and take a look at the basics of just U.S. copyright law, things that are protected are items like movies, music, literary works, software. All of those things are protected under copyright law. So as a copyright holder, that business, that individual, they retain certain exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries. So for example, a movie studio, when they create a movie, yes, they're the rights holder for that movie. And if you wanted to show it, say at an internal sales presentation or at a company event, you, even though it's, you know, internally just for your employees, you actually still need to go get permission from the copyright holder, because the act of showing that movie in a setting is a public performance, and that is an exclusive right of the copyright holder. So I think that's really one of the real risks. And I think that's also the biggest risk, because when somebody does not get permission, unfortunately, you know, the law is, you act without and do something without permission of the copyright holder, you and your business can be found liable for an infringement claim. So the risk with that is comes in many different flavors, whether it's a, you know, there's dollars associated, right? Where if you're found to, if the infringement is found to be willful, it can be upwards towards $150,000 per infringed work. So that can be costly. But I think for any company, aside from the expenses associated with fighting a claim or paying for a claim, is really the reputation, you know, the damage that can come to your business, where I think for any business, a lot of what our greatest asset is our brand and our name. So, sorry for the long-winded answer, but yes, there are a few instances where companies have been sued. A good example of that is in the publishing space, where a notable case is Lowry's Reports versus Legg Mason. It happened in the early 2000s, but it all had to deal with an employee who had a subscription to a newsletter and was sharing it far beyond the terms of that subscription. And unfortunately, they were found to be liable for willful infringement. So again, $150,000 per work attributed to every single time that newsletter was shared, because that each instance of that newsletter contributed to one copy of the work. So they were sued for $22 million. So you know, while we've heard about claims like that in the past and cases like that in the past, to be honest, we don't hear a lot about it anymore. And oftentimes, that's because once a cease and desist letter is sent, it's taken care of, because no company wants to have their name out there for something that they could have otherwise controlled by getting the appropriate licenses in place and also educating their staff on when they need to get permission.
Yeah, well, education obviously is important, and I think it's also, as you alluded earlier, it's a challenge given how much is there and how easy it is to just right-click on a link, copy, and send something, you know, paste it into an email or whatever to share with others. So, what are some of the solutions out there? I mean, obviously, education of the workforce is going to be critical. What else should organizations be thinking of doing to help avoid this risk area?
So I think the first thing you really need to do is really assess the situation. You know, reach out to various groups within the department, within your organization, individuals who you believe are closest to content, right? And those who are creating. So it could be somebody, you know, in a marketing communications role, right? They're often responsible for, you know, working with third parties and getting new pieces out and providing your sales staff with respective materials they can use. Or even folks that are involved in, you know, training and HR, you know, they're oftentimes creating internal training materials, which oftentimes pull from third-party content. Or if you're a research-heavy organization, you know, reach out to all of your folks who are in research and development, if you have a library. There's various departments, you know, within an organization, depending on what type of company you are, that are tend to be using a lot of third-party content than other companies. So taking a good sense and really assessing the situation, but being, you know, being respectful in how you do it, right? You know, you certainly don't want to reach out to employees and say, "What are you doing? Are you doing something wrong?" Because you're not looking to tell them no. And I think that you don't want employees to feel that, "Oh, great, you know, I've been working so hard and I've come up with all these great PowerPoints and I found so many great icebreakers from YouTube, and now I can't use any of them." And the answer is you don't want to tell your staff no. You want to encourage creativity, but you also want to make sure you're in within operating within, you know, compliant, you know, within compliant boundaries here. So reaching out, assessing the situation, trying to get an understanding of who's using content, how they're using it, and then start back, look back at your internal policy as an organization. Do you have within your code of ethics and business conduct a section that talks about the use of third-party content? It's interesting because in working with companies, oftentimes they'll reach out to us and they'll say, "Hey, I know you guys have sample guidelines for our copyright compliance policy, and we looked at ours, and we only talk about the content and our own intellectual property. So we need to do a better job in, you know, identifying what's our policy around third-party intellectual property," which gets back to some of those things I mentioned earlier, right? movies, software, all of that. So assessing the situation, drafting a policy, and then, as you said, coming up with process and education, continuous education, not only for the people who are there, but also new people who are coming in. And because what you really want them to really have a good foundation on, you know, certainly clearing up some of those misconceptions where they're simply, their employees are not ever waking up and driving to work and saying, you know what, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to work is I'm going to find a way to infringe on somebody else's copyright. That's never the case. So giving them a process to follow, educating them, and knowing and coming up with who can they contact within the company. You certainly don't want people to be shy about getting permission. So really encouraging them to contact, whether it's a, some clients will have on their intranet site in the legal department, you know, they'll have their policy and they'll have an email alias with a little form that they, an employee can fill out with, you know, what they're looking to do, how they can get permission, what their budget is. Because permission sometimes also, it may come at a cost, you know, right? So as a copyright holder, you know, in order to create new things, rights holders may ask to be compensated when you want to reuse their materials. So in doing so, the individual responsible for getting permission, they may look into a license, or they may contact the rights holder directly. And certainly just know that they're obviously going to operate and seek, you know, the best deal for the business in terms of making sure that A, you're getting the permissions that you need, and also that they're within whatever your respective budget is.
Well, that's great advice, Liz, and I think it's a good warning, both for compliance people that there's a solution to this, but a reminder of the need to educate your workforce into greater sensitivity over the fact that, you know, just because it's on YouTube or some other site doesn't mean it's just fresh for the pickings for anyone who comes by. Well, thanks for taking the time today to share that information with us. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE. I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives today.
Thank you. Take care.